the big takeaway there is that there isn't just a one-size-fits-all financial plan for everybody. Everybody needs something custom, personalized. So when I'm meeting with clients, I'm asking them first, just what's your learning style? So I can cater to that. And then going through the basic needs analysis, you know, what does it cost for your home, your bills, you know, just your basic survival. And then when you factor in the income, is there anything left over after that? Let's start prioritizing the discretionary spending. What do we want to save for? Money is a key to open doors of possibilities, right? Like, absolutely. Nobody cares if you're just piling up money and it's not doing anything for you. Who cares that it's there? So if you're in the consumer rat race where you're just always building income and stashing it away, well, someday you're going to retire and think to yourself, like, okay, great, I can support myself, but what am I really doing?
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline or Jax Kreider. And today we have Miss Jenna Rose joining us. She is a financial coach and she and I have had many conversations and I really have enjoyed, you know, even though we have totally different perspectives on things, it's been awesome just to have those conversations with her. So Jenna Rose, please introduce yourself. Tell the audience a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you do what you do.
Sure. I'm Jenna Rose. I'm a personal finance coach. I got into it because I have a long history in finance. I worked for a wealth management firm for 7 years. I went to school for finance. I have my degree in finance with a concentration in financial planning. What I was finding at my last job was a lot of the clients really needed help with just cash flow management, just like really basic stuff. People were scared to log into their bank accounts because they didn't want to look at it. You know, those kind of things, like people were entering freeze response. So I started working with a career coach and asked her, is this a job? Do people do this? Like, I really love helping people with this stuff and it's really not in my job description. Like, can I make a job out of this? And she was like, yeah, people do it all the time. It's called financial coaching. Let's help you build a practice around it. So I did that and I've been really in love with it.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. And I think there's so many jobs that, like, when I was young, weren't even really a thing for the longest. But like, as we've evolved as a society, we've, you know, realize that there are a lot more things that we need to handle, right? And deal with and challenges and things like that. So it's awesome. And I love that you're also really passionate about finances and financial education. And it's definitely why you and I, you know, clicked in the conversations we've had, et cetera. I'm super excited, you know, to have you just to kind of talk through some of these things. Because you and I are on the same page. We think that, unfortunately, a lot of people are. They're just afraid to make a plan. They're afraid to go through and kind of have an idea, even though we don't necessarily completely agree about exactly how you get there. That's okay. Because as I say all the time, you don't necessarily have to do it my way, right? Just because that's the way I would handle it or do it doesn't make it right necessarily. And I think that's kind of what you wanted to talk a little bit about is, you know, just understanding how we create some plans, like figuring out what's going to resonate with them specifically, things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the big takeaway there is that there isn't just a one size fits all financial plan for everybody. Everybody needs something custom, personalized. So when I'm meeting with clients, I'm asking them first, just what's your learning style? So I can cater to that. And then going through the basic needs analysis, you know, what does it cost for your home, your bills, you know, just your basic survival. And then when you factor in the income, is there anything left over after that? Let's start prioritizing the discretionary spending. What do we want to save for? Let's build some plans. And I think that process is incredibly important.
Yeah, I think too often, and honestly, with as many things as we have going on in life in general, it's super easy to just get caught up in trying to live life and not really stepping back and saying like, okay, where do I want to be? What does this need to look like? And especially with money, because there's so much negativity sort of surrounding it, right? I mean, a lot of people think it's kind of evil. And then you have other people who feel like I'll never have enough of it, right? There's like that scarcity mindset happening. And so there's so many challenges when it comes to just how you think about money, right? Like what kind of a plan you want to make. And I think for so many people, like you said, it's easier just to not log into the bank account, right? Like, let me just go focus on making the money and then the rest of it will figure itself out. And even though, yeah, life does end up figuring itself out to a certain extent, it's not always the best solution, I'd say, right? To like getting to exactly where you want to be and ensuring that whatever life you want to live, that you have done it in the best way possible. And I know that you probably agree with that too, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I won't speak for you.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think the missing piece for a lot of people is that money is a key to open doors of possibilities, right? Like, absolutely. Nobody cares if you're just piling up money and it's not doing anything for you. Who cares that it's there? So if you're in the consumer rat race where you're just always building income and stashing it away, well, someday you're going to retire and think to yourself like, okay, great, I can support myself, but what am I really doing? And I think that's a missed opportunity for a lot of people. Something else I run into a lot is people scared to look at their bank account because they think if they make any moves with their money, they're going to make their situation worse. And that's not true. Some people just need a little bit of validation and support, and that's okay. I'm happy to be that person.
Sure.
But just taking the steps, thinking about what you want and what your money can do for you and what tools are out there to help you get to said goal quicker.
Right. Oh no, absolutely. Well, and I think it is hard because a lot of how we handle money comes from like childhood or some kind of trauma that we have experienced. And I personally think that a lot of like, you know, people in the financial space or whatever, they think that there's like this one size fits all approach, like everyone should handle it this way. And the truth of the matter is like, we're all so different. Like what we've experienced in our lives, whether it be childhood or beyond, right? Like what, you know, making choices and maybe some of them didn't work out as well as we had hoped. And so it puts us in a financial bind. I mean, I tell on myself all the time that my husband and I, a few years back, took a fairly large risk. And yes, the risk is very likely going to pay off in a lot of ways, but it has created some giant challenges. So it's super easy for me to want to beat myself up and say like, man, should I have taken that risk or, you know, whatever. But the truth of the matter is it's what's done is done, right? Like whether I should have taken it or not at this point is irrelevant. We took it. It may or may not have been the smartest decision, right? And all I can do is like figure out how to learn from that piece and then move on down the path as opposed to beating myself up. So I think that's great that you validate some of that, right? Or maybe shift the mindset because it's very hard. And I say that like, and I always tell people, please understand, just because I work in this space does not mean that I'm perfect by any stretch, right? Plenty of you, I'm sure, look at my financial decisions and I joke all the time about my 800 cups that sit behind me that are the same thing. And the minimalists that watch the show are like, Jax, you don't need 800 purple cups. My really good friend Shanna is like that. And literally, she'll always be like, I don't understand. Why do you own so many of the same thing? And I'm like, I don't know. Okay, I don't know.
You know what? It makes you happy. If you have it baked into your spending plan, by all means, have all the cups as long as you're achieving your goals. And then on the mistakes piece, the fact of the matter is everybody makes mistakes. Whenever you're working towards a goal, there's going to be, it's an overall upward trajectory normally, but you're going to have peaks and valleys, like highs and lows along the way. And you just have to look at those mistakes as a mere step on the path to success, I think.
Right. No, for 100%. I mean, I think that is, but it's easier said than done, right? And especially we sort of live in a world where everyone appears to be perfect because we have, you know, 8 million filters and we have, you know, everybody, no one's going to post their junk on Facebook where it's like horrible and my life is coming apart. I mean, occasionally, but pretty rare. And so everyone just believes that everyone's life is like going according to plan. And being that I work in mortgage, and so like we kind of get to see like this snapshot of people's lives, I can say with confidence that not just my own life, but the lives of anybody that I have touched over the course of time, no one's life is perfect, right? They have things that aren't exactly what they would love them to be, or, you know, et cetera. And I think that it's super important for people to remember that when they're thinking about the one size fits all versus like the customized approach, like what you suggest is the better option. And I agree with you, is it's okay. Like it's okay to be different. It's okay for your plan to not be exactly perfect and for it to flex, right? I mean, plans change
all the time. I mean, human beings are continuously evolving. So I think it's important to check in with your plan every once in a while, even if it's just like twice a year. It doesn't have to be all the time, but just check in. What's going on with you now? Are your goals even still the same? Are you into the same stuff? Are your habits still the same?
For sure.
You know, somebody who comes to me starting off as a real impulse spender really needs to have a slush fund to scratch that itch, right? Some little bucket of cash to be able to do those things. But then maybe over time, they're not impulse spending anymore because they've become more aware of it. They're planning ahead. Okay, well, maybe instead of doing the slush fund, we have a savings bucket for something more long term. Is there a vacation you want to do? Let's shift this cash around.
For sure. Well, and that's something that me personally, like, that's really important. When my husband and I got married, we sort of made a decision, and you know, you get in a, like, I'm in a ton of financial groups, like on Facebook and like different things or whatever. And it cracks me up because whenever somebody posts about how do you deal with your bank accounts, right? Like, I'm married or I'm with a long-term partner or whatever, right? And we have, you know, considering how to do bank accounts, how does that work? And I always laugh because I always think, well, it depends on the couple. Because for us, what works is we have a main joint account where most of our money flows into, but then we each have a side account where we have some money that flows into those accounts where if we want to make a big purchase, we don't need to, you know, ask permission, so to speak, right? I mean, I understand with your significant other or spouse, it doesn't necessarily have to be asking permission, but to a certain extent, you know, when you're making a little more expensive purchase, usually if it's coming out of joint money, you do want to ask, you know, if this is okay, if this is something, you know, et cetera. But it allows us to have some ability to spend on our own so that we don't necessarily have to account. And for me, that comes from the trauma of when I was married the first time, I couldn't go to Target and spend $20. Without getting like the third degree. I hated that feeling, right? It was a horrible kind of thing. And honestly, it made me a little crazy at the after my divorce with spending, because I had been so restricted on, like, I couldn't go and I couldn't spend any money. I was like in the opposite realm, which is not a healthy thing, by the way, but still how it operated for me.
And one of the earliest questions I'll ask people is, what are your earliest memories with money? What is your background with money? And you often find that people with controlling backgrounds, you know, whether it be with a ex-spouse or their parents controlling their spending, they become impulse spenders later in life because they're going to associate spending with freedom and creativity, right? And all these different things that people with a different background are not. So that just, you know, proof in the pudding right there, you need to have a custom plan.
Sure.
And I know so many people are adamant on, if you're in a marriage, all your finances need to be intertwined. And I don't believe in that at all. I think it depends on the couple. It depends on the backgrounds. I'm the same way. My partner and I, we have like some shared savings towards specific goals, but then we manage our spending totally separately because we both just value that freedom and flexibility. But some people really, really value having it all together and seeing everything all at once.
Yeah,
absolutely. You gotta do work for you.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your home ownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Well, and I just think that so often people, I think, want it to be one size fits all because technically that's easier. If there was like some magic pill that we said, okay, great, Jenna Rose and I have the answer for you, right? Like, here's exactly what you have to do. Do this exact thing, like these 14 steps, and that's it. You're going to be financially successful forever and it's going to go great.
Well, that'd be sweet, but it's not going to happen.
I know, it would be great, right? Like that, in an ideal world, that is what would happen, right? It would just be that easy. And I think if you really think about it and you think it through, right, this is why there's not one kind of laundry detergent or one kind of anything, really, right? Like think about, you know, cereal or even milk types, right? Like just like on a really basic kind of a level, if there's that many opinions and thought processes and what works best for people, if somebody is sitting there telling you that it's one size fits all, that everything has to go this way, I'm telling you, they don't have your best interest, or they're probably trying to sell you something very specific that it only fits in that box, right? Yeah. That's just how it is. And it cracks me up, I think, that people get so fixated on that. And I think it's because it's a little hard to do the self-reflection, right? Like, I mean, I don't necessarily love admitting to you and everyone else who listens to this podcast that I can be an excessive spender. My dad jokes, like his joke for me is, well, if one was good, four would be better. And I'm like, thanks, Papa. It's so sweet of you to say that or whatever, right? But, you know, sometimes for me, it's just like how my brain works is like I buy something and then I like the thing. And then I look for like the improvements of the thing. And that ends up with me having way more than I should, if you will.
I will.
But I mean, so I know that you said that you ask them questions about their specific attitudes towards money, their first memories towards money. I mean, what else would you suggest for people to start unpacking how they create a custom plan? You know what I mean? How they open themselves up to be able to approach someone like you who is going to help them create some of this plan for them. So like what are your best recommendations for people listening who are like, okay, so you convinced me I need a custom plan. Like how do I come up with that? How do I figure that out?
I think step one is just reach out. Just reach out to a financial coach and just make that step to communicate. You don't have to go and do a bunch of legwork with your finances. If you just start talking to somebody, that person is going to feel you out, break down some baby steps that are custom for you that are actually going to be realistic, easy, and not daunting. And then that will snowball into a more intricate plan that is for you. Now, if you're trying to do it all on your own, I would say think about your past with money. Think about what emotions you tie to money. Is it safety and security? Is it shame? Is it freedom? And think about what shapes that. Think about what your priorities are in spending and start ranking your expenses. Obviously, you have to cover the basic needs, your living expenses and all that.
Sure.
But is there anything left over if you subtract those expenses from your income? Start shaping that around the things you really want to do. Start thinking about the things you want to save for and build a bucket. You can look into what tools are out there. And when you're looking at tools like accounts and different things like that. Compare, do a little bit of research, see what, because I think when you are Googling different accounts to use that'll maybe earn you some money, like a high yield or something like that, you're going to get the sponsored stuff first. And when you dig into those, there's minimum balance requirements, there's maintenance fees, there's all kinds of stuff. But if you dig a little bit further, you're going to find things that are completely free that maybe have no minimum balance requirements, have better rates, things like that. So I think it's just setting some time aside at the end of the day and,
sure.
and looking into it. Yeah.
Well, and I also a lot of times recommend people to sort of think outside the box. Like, for instance, a challenge we get a lot from people is, well, I'm struggling to save for a down payment, right? Because it's a large chunk of money. And, you know, especially if they're not particularly great with money, then maybe they are struggling to be able to save that amount. And so I'll say, okay, well, then almost in a weird way, play a game with yourself, right? Kind of trick yourself and take an amount of money, like open an account where you can't really see it. You don't really look at it very often. You're not really going to touch it. And even something that it's going to take you a while to get it. So for instance, like it's so easy for me when I have multiple accounts with Chase to just move that money if I'm ready to use it, right? Like just literally transfer it accounts and then boom, I can have it in cash. I can spend it on my credit card. I can spend it however I want, right?
Yeah,
and
instant.
So a lot of, what'd you say?
I was just like, it's all instant.
Right, exactly. It's like instant gratification. I can have it. Well, when I was saving and I had specific idea of a big goal in mind, I literally had money pulled out of my paycheck and moving into an account that I pretty much never saw. And in fact, if I wanted the money transferred into my main account, it would take like 3 days. Well, guess what? Yeah. I got 3 days time to think about it. It's gonna be more of like, do I really need that thing? Do I really need to buy or whatever that thing? And then, cause usually the answer is no, right? I mean, a lot of times it's that snap thought, I want to deal with that. And it doesn't really necessarily make a lot of sense, at least for me.
And I actually did the same thing. I was really struggling with savings when I was in my 20s, and I started just automating $10 a paycheck, something really small. I wasn't going to notice it. Just put it in some account far away.
Exactly.
Don't think about it. And then I think a year later, you know, I had a few $100 in there. It was awesome. I was like, oh, I can repair my car without taking debt. Like, it was great. That was a huge crossover for me.
Oh, for sure. Well, and that's the whole thing too, is like, so for instance, I created like a free budgeting tool, which literally just helps people track like every single day, because I will argue until I'm blue in the face, what usually kills your budget is not your big bills, because you usually planned for those. Like you looked at your amount that you're making and you looked at like, you know, what your rent or your mortgage or whatever those things were going to be. And you figured out what those things are. But what kills you is you make, you know, a Starbucks trip every day, or you stop into the local convenience store and you buy a drink or whatever. And there's nothing inherently wrong with any of those things, right? However, if you're not looking at where the money is actually flowing, it's real easy where, you know, 3 days later after payday, you're broke because you just went through or whatever. And so a lot of times people don't realize that you're right. It, like $10, you're like, but it's $10. Like it's just not that big of a deal, but it is when it starts adding up, right? When it starts kind of coming together and adding up. And a lot of people don't think that all the way through. So you're right. Everybody should just, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I don't have the money to hire Jenna Rose to be my, you know, financial coach or whatever. Okay, great. That's fine, right? And Jax, I don't have the money to buy a house yet. And I don't even know if I want to own a house yet, right? Or any of that. Great. Figure out how you start small. Right. First of all, like Jenna Rose said, how are you, like, what are your core beliefs about money? Start there. Right. What do you believe about money? What do you struggle with? Are you a hoarder of money where you aren't living life whatsoever because you're holding everything so close to the vest? Are you on the other end? You spend all the money, you turn around and you look in your account and you're like, I have no money left. Where did it all go? Like, figure out what your struggle is and then move from there. And I would say, I think we see a lot more people struggling with spending money because it's so easy, right? Like, it's so simple. We made it too easy for people to spend money. Like, I don't know.
It's so easy for people to spend money. It's out of control.
I mean, literally, Facebook, Chrome, shop, all of these things. Like if I literally go and I went, like, I don't even have to enter my credit card number anymore. It like already knows. It's like, don't worry, Jax, we're just going to send you a code on your phone. You're just going to enter the code in and then boom, you're going to have purchased it. It's kind of terrifying, actually, how quickly you can spend that.
Not only that, but all how so many services now are on this subscription model. It used to be you paid once for something and then you just had it. But Absolutely. Now you have all these subscriptions that add up, and so many people don't even realize that they're paying for these subscriptions. Like they think they just paid for something 1 month and then, you know, they're not looking at their account for a whole year. And then they, lo and behold, they spent $2,000 yep. on either a gym membership or maybe a coaching membership, or, you know, all kinds of different things. And it's like, well, did you actually use that service?
Absolutely.
No, you threw a bunch of money in the trash. And that's a cycle I'd love to break.
Oh, for sure. Well, and honestly, I say all the time too, think about why like subscriptions are so effective. It is effective because you convince yourself mentally, it's just $5. It's just $8. It's just $10. Whatever that is, right? Like whatever that amount of money or threshold for, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. And then you're right. By the time you look at it, and you know, that old saying, like the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We all think when you get the gem membership, you're going to go, let's be real, right? Like you're not paying the money because you're going to say to yourself like, man, I want to pay $50 a month for my gem membership, but I'm not going to go. I just really like taking $50 and lighting it on fire. That sounds like a really fun plan. Like, let's do that. Nobody's saying that, guys. Like none of us. But then what happens is like, you just don't really think about it. And she's right. It just comes out of your account and you just don't really think about it. And by the time a year or 2 years or however long it has gone by, you look at it and you're like, man, I went to the gym like 3 times. Like I could have literally bought whatever equipment I used and had it at my home yeah. or whatever, right? And so I think, and I will argue so I'm blue in the face, that the biggest problem we have as a society is not just money. It's not just, you know, the attitude and the thought process. It's knowing yourself. Right? Like it is knowing yourself. Like you literally have to ask yourself hard questions and they're not necessarily fun. Right? Like I said, I mean, it's not exactly like I love admitting that like I have a shopping problem. I do, but like, I don't love to admit that. It's not like I'm going to go to parties and be like, hi, I'm Jax Kreider. Oh, Jenna Rose. Okay, cool. Did you know I have a shopping problem? Like, you know what I mean? Like nobody wants to admit that kind of things about themselves, but if you don't come to some sort of realization, either because you're working with somebody who's holding your feet to the fire, like Jenna Rose, who's saying, you know, hey, what are we doing with this? Why are we doing it? What's our plan? What's our end game? If you're not gonna willing to do that, then you have to be accountable to yourself and ask yourself the hard questions. And you're just answering to you, but you're never gonna get to where you wanna be if you're not willing to ask hard questions. And that's with anything. It doesn't matter, not just about money, right? Like if you're not willing to ask questions, I mean, literally, you guys are going to laugh. I'm writing a book called Ask the Question, because if you ask my mother, my favorite thing to do as a child, it was to ask 800 questions. That's all I ever do is ask questions. I'm like, huh, how does that work? And why is this that way? But you do, you have to not be afraid to ask questions. Like you are powerful beyond measure. Each and every one of us are in our own way. You are able to live the life you want, but you have to take the bull by the horns and just say like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to hire Jenna Rose. I'm going to, you know, set aside the money so I can save to buy a house. I never want to own a home. So here's my other path to invest and make sure I'm financial successfully, whatever that is.
Absolutely. I think to the point earlier of just finding that, what is that number that is our not a big deal number, and taking that and starting to build up the savings. The same process can be used for debt. You know, when you have an extra $15 or whatever in your account, throw it on top of the debt principal. It'll go away Absolutely. So much faster if you get in the habit of doing that. It snowballs with everything. Oh, yeah. And it works the same way if you're going to spend, you know, the $5 a month too. But maybe ask yourself, do I really want to spend the $5 on this? Do I have some debt that's sitting? Do I have some savings goals that I'm not building towards? Shift it over to that.
Absolutely. Oh, I tell people all the time. So like, you know, when we talk about mortgage, and of course people like, mortgage is a big scary thing because it is usually the largest debt. If you ever, you know, decide to buy a house and you take out that mortgage, that's the largest financial transaction you're ever going to make from a debt perspective, right? And so I don't take that job lightly because it is such an important thing, not only to understand it, understand how it works and how it operates, but also understand how it's going to affect their life. And I always recommend when we talk to our clients, I say, look, here's the deal. When you go ahead and you start making your payments, I highly encourage you pay a little extra towards principal, even if it's just 10 bucks or whatever, because the reality is your taxes and your insurance are going to raise over time, right? Like that's not something I get to control. And that's just life, right? I mean, even if you weren't owning a home, you still would have insurance costs rising on renter's insurance and everything else. That's just the way life works, right? We have inflation, whether it's a big amount or small amount, it's always going to be raising. So insulate yourself a little bit that way because you're going to be paying a little extra. And so when it increases, it's a little less of a hit to you. And then people don't realize how much they can affect how quickly those debts can go down. I mean, I tell the story all the time. So when I was 22, I bought my first house and my payment was like $1,200 a month, roughly. I think it was like $1,250. I paid $250 more. And I understand not everybody could do that, right? So I paid like $1,500 directly towards principal. That house was scheduled to be paid off in 17 years by making not even quite 25% more on payment.
Yeah, it's insane. I actually had a client recently knock down a mortgage from a 30-year mortgage to a 7-year mortgage by adding on, he added on about $2,000 a month to his payment. And it was mind blowing.
Oh, for sure.
When he did the math for how much he saved in interest. And did you do the same exercise? Like it was huge.
So the way that I describe it to my clients when I'm explaining it is if you imagine two equilateral triangles, one pointing towards the ceiling and one pointing towards the floor, and we shift them together, that big fat piece of the triangle on top, that's the amount of interest you're paying. That little teeny piece of your triangle is what you're paying to principal. And as time goes on, it gets more where it's more equal, right? You're paying more equal amounts of principal and to interest. So in that first 5 years, it becomes hugely important if you're able to pay as much extra to principal as you can humanly pay. Now, I get it. Some people, they're just trying to get themselves in that house so they can try to not deal with a rent payment anymore, whatever, right? And I get that. And so it's not something that everybody can do. But if they can do it, and to your point, a lot of times, most of us could spare $10, $15, $20 a month in addition, right? We're going to waste it. So we're going to spend it on probably something stupid that we probably didn't need. It's just the reality of the situation. And so yes, you just throw that on top. And trust me, when you start making that payment and that's what it is, it's like, I've always done that with my cars too. So my payment is $650. I just round off $700 and I pay the extra to principal, right? A lot of times it's just an easy way to sort of insulate yourself. And so I just tell a lot of people, a lot of times, some of it, it's just tricks, right? It's just mental financial tricks that are not that hard, but they make a really big impact. You just have to sort of think them through.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that's awesome. I love that he is able to cut down his mortgage to 7 years. Because I always just tell people, look, I don't usually recommend somebody locking themselves into the shorter time because hashtag life happens, right? Like it just...
Right.
We don't know if we're going to change jobs, if we're going to, you know, lose our job because like the economy hasn't been as stable as we'd like it to be, right? Like we don't necessarily want to borrow, like pull money out of our savings if we do, you know, have a big shift in income or something of that sort, right? We can't affect what the counties or states are going to do with the taxes. And so, you know, if they raise them up a whole lot, huge amount, you know what I mean? Like there's just like a lot of factors there. So unless somebody knows that they're really financially secure, I don't always recommend the shorter term, unless they know really where they stand. But I do heavily recommend extra payment. And I recommend on that anything, right? Any kind of debt you've got, especially the ones that are compounding interest, which a lot of people don't understand that concept either. For those of you listening, basically your credit cards are just legalized loan sharking. They have insane interest rates and they are daily compounding interest. And that's not a great thing.
No, it snowballs really fast. But to your point around not recommending the shorter term mortgages so that people can have the flexibility, I do the same thing with debt consolidation loans. I know debt consolidation loans have gotten so popular in the last few years, but you lose all flexibility because you're increasing that month end payment, that minimum payment that you have to make every single month. You lose all flexibility. So just snowball the payments. When you have extra money, dump it on the debt.
Absolutely. Well, there's so many different options too that people don't always think about, right? So like if you feel like debt consolidation is the only way you're going to get out because you're just not going to be diligent enough, like this is where I have the conversation with our clients. Know yourself, because I can't make these decisions for you. I can give you the advice and I can tell you what I would do for me and how I operate, right? On like a monetary standpoint or how most of the people I speak with operate, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to fit you and that that's going to be something that works for you. So if you know that like, look, Generose, I'm not going to put the extra $100 a month on that debt because I'm just not going to do it, then maybe you do have to lock yourself into a debt consolidation loan, right? Like maybe you have to do that so that you can get it paid down and paid off in a reasonable window of time. But to your point, you need to be very careful. Because you can put yourself in a financial hurt in a hurry if you're not thinking it all the way through, right?
Absolutely.
And so it just, again, it just becomes to knowing yourself and knowing like what your appetite for risk is, what, you know, what you feel like your future plans are, et cetera. And just understanding that things are going to change. You're going to make the decision and you're going to say, great, you know what? I'm going to pay down my credit cards. And then 8 months later, you haven't done a dang thing. And then maybe I have to be asking yourself hard questions. Should I really consider that or whatever? Or can I hire somebody, maybe like Jenna Rose, who's going to kind of hold my feet to the fire and say, Jax, are you paying down those credit cards? We talked about this. We had 400 conversations. Why aren't we doing it?
Well, and I think it makes a big difference just to have that accountability of speaking to somebody. I know I'm more likely to do something if I have to go and tell somebody about it. And I was talking to somebody recently about like running outside, like I like to jog, but if I'm just in the woods and nobody's around, I'm probably going to shuffle a little bit, probably going to walk a little bit because nobody knows. But if I'm on a main street, I'm going to put on a good performance. And I think that same logic applies to everything. If you have to do something in front of people.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and we live in a society where it is really, because we have so much going on, it's actually really difficult sometimes to stay accountable. It's not like a shame thing. It's not like you don't want to do the work or you don't want to do the thing or you want to just be like, ah, screw it. Like, I want to be financially responsible, right? Like, that's not what it is. A lot of times it is like lack of education or lack of accountability, right? To be able to do the things. Like, I joke all the time that in mortgage, we only have one of three clients when it comes to like bad kind of credit. I say there's client one. Client one is the client that they used to have great credit, but something bad happened, right? They lost a job. Maybe a significant other, you know, passed away. Something happened. So they were on track and they had really great credit, you know, et cetera. And then something bad happened to them, right? Client two is a client that always broke my heart. They didn't have the education. Okay, so that's like where this all came to play and why I started creating, you know, financial resources that were free and some paid and creating a podcast is because my heart goes out to the people that just don't know, right? Nobody ever told them, there, you know, nobody ever, you know, et cetera. And the beautiful part about right now is we have more resource and ability to find those things than we ever have. And then client three was a client that I always said I couldn't help. They don't care. They don't care about making their payments on time. They don't care about what the financial repercussions are. They just don't care. And that's a person that no matter what we do, we can't help, right? So there's just nothing that can be done. But you're right. We are way more likely to do the thing if somebody is watching us or holding us accountable. So if you can't hire Jenna Rose, which you should, but if you can't do that, I highly recommend you find somebody to be an accountability partner. Maybe you have a friend and you and them are listening to this together and you're thinking, man, like we need to stay accountable. We're not quite there in the financial level to hire somebody, which Jenna probably will tell you in a little bit, you know, she'll do a consultation for you, like, you know, for free, have a little conversation with you. But if you don't feel like you're there yet, it's okay. Baby steps, right?
Yep,
just
absolutely.
Take step one. Find somebody that you can hold yourself accountable with, whoever that is, that you feel like is not going to judge you, that you feel like is going to like actually do that. They're not going to be like that friend who is like, it's okay, Jenna Rose, that you didn't do what you're supposed to do. Like, I don't really care. No, you need somebody that is not going to shame you about it, but also is going to be like, man, Jenna Rose, like we made this like agreement.
Just what's going on? Just start asking questions.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified. your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today. Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Yeah, and I think the asking questions piece is probably one of the biggest takeaways. That's some of the best advice I've ever received in life is ask questions, which sounds so silly, but question everything.
So part of the reason, I'm writing the book because one, I just am naturally a curious person. I like people. I like facts. I like, in fact, nobody figured out that I was ADHD until I was damn near 30, because most of the time they catch that when you're in school because you can't focus on something. And I genuinely love to learn. And so no one caught it because I was genuinely so interested. And when I was in law school, I did constitutional law. And for those of you who are maybe constitutional lawyers, or you love constitutional stuff, I apologize, but I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like learning about it. And for the first time ever, I could not focus on it at all. I tried, it just wasn't landing. So anyway, I just genuinely like questions. And what I found, though, in the last couple of years is I have a toddler who is now 3. And if you look, we actually start out as genuinely curious people. And then somewhere along the way, it gets beat out of us. I don't know if it's shame and we feel like it's a bad thing to ask questions. I don't know if it's somebody told us we were stupid, right? Which I guess would also play into shame. But that insecurity kind of feeling. Or we feel like we knew it all, we're adults now and we know everything, so we don't need to ask the questions. But I can't stress enough that if you're not asking questions, it's a mistake.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
I mean, heck, we could tell a story. So Jenna Rose's first conversation, she was like, who is this person? She's a little bit strong personality. And what in the heck? I have no desire to buy a house. She literally does that for a living. What is happening here? I don't know if Dramonte, who you guys saw in a different episode, really knew what he was doing when he aligned us. I'm confused. And so she just asked, she was like, look, guys, she's like, Jax, what are you trying to get out of this meeting? What's your goal, right? Because anybody who's listened to this knows my personality is pretty bold and big, and I'm not afraid to speak my mind or whatever, right? And so even though Jenna Rose and I have different viewpoints, different, our goal is the same. We genuinely want people to succeed. And not only do we want them to succeed, we genuinely want them to succeed on your terms. Like I say all the time, your life, your terms. You should have that ability. So you don't have to view the same way. You can think Jenna Rose's way is awesome. You can think my way is horrible, or vice versa, or some secret option C that we do not discuss. That's fine. But you've got to start somewhere. And you got to ask questions, and you got to take control of your own life, because nobody's coming to save you, right?
That's true.
And you don't want to end up at the end of the road and say, great, I have, multi-millions of dollars, but I didn't enjoy life. I didn't do anything with it or whatever, or vice versa. You're broke and you have no money and you are having to work until you're 100 because we didn't think it all the way through and we didn't, ask any questions or make any, decisions that would help us lead down a, you know, a path, et cetera, right?
Right.
But we're pretty much at the end of time. So I want you to tell people how they can reach out to you, because I know that you love to help people and that if they're at all interested, that you would like to help them. So talk a little bit to the audience about how they can reach out to you and, you know, what kind of offer you have for them.
Absolutely. Well, you can go to my site, fincoach.biz, that has all my contact information on it. You can book a complimentary 30-minute consultation on there as well. I say just go there and start having the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And hopefully you guys have found this to be a helpful episode. Like I said, we just challenge you to think about what is it that you want in life, right? How is that going to resonate? And know yourself. So if you know that you're not going to take the financial steps to be successful like you want to be, reach out to Jenna Rose, right? Like, she will help you, you know, guide you. And if it's not the right time or whatever, I'm sure she's like me. She'll either make another recommendation or set you up like to, you know, here's some tips you can work on now. And then let's revisit this in the future. Most people who are really great, you know, experts and professionals, like if they really care about their clientele, they will understand that it's not always going to be the perfect time right away. Right. And that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I do understand.
That's for sure. Okay. So yes, well, thank you so much for visiting us. Again, thank you so much for listening, guys. This has been a wonderful, another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified, and we hope that we see you next time.